Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Mind on Mental Health podcast. My name's Andy Dean. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and my guest today is Jawad Bayat. Jawad is the Associate Director for Clinical Pastoral Education at Penn Medicine Princeton Health. Jawad and I discuss what role spirituality plays in mental health treatment, and he also discusses how he tries to make the concept of spirituality more accessible to every person who's seeking mental health treatment. So I hope you guys enjoy the episode. All right, Jawad, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Usually the first thing I like to have people do when they come on is just explain to the audience a little bit about what they do for the agency. So can you just tell us, you know, your name and your title and what you do for Penn?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Jawad Bayat, and I serve as the Associate Director for Clinical Pastoral Education, and that's for Penn Medicine Princeton Health. And specifically, I manage inpatient, outpatient, spiritual care, spirituality groups. As a result, I also supervise chaplain, intern, and residents, both at Princeton House Behavioral Health and also at the medical center. And so I have my feet in many domains, so to speak.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And I think when it comes to patient care, you really sort of bring an interesting perspective because you have kind of one foot in the counseling world and then one foot in like a spirituality in the spiritual world. Why is spirituality important when it comes to mental health care? You know, when it comes to treating people with mental health issues, what role does spirituality play in the treatment?
Yeah. So spirituality, I believe, is important because for me, there's a few ways that I define it. And I know that spirituality is one of those concepts, those terms, that it's open access.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a human being, you can access spirituality and define it in whichever way you want to. And so therefore you'll even find, you know, social workers, nurses, doctors within our professional setting even use the term. It's open access.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with the chaplain is that we bring a clinical relationship to that term. And when we do our spiritual assessments, which includes a way of gathering like the information, doing an intervention and paying attention to outcomes. When we say spiritual assessment, we're paying attention to these dynamics of what's going on in the patient. What are my interventions? And how are we paying attention to the desired outcome? But that all happens in the here and now. It's a very much a here and now approach. Spirituality then is important because this is the fundamental premise that it's not suffering that destroys us, but it's suffering in isolation that does.
Mm.
And I believe that that's part of and parcel of how we approach spirituality, I think, in this clinical context. As I define it, spirituality is about the quality of connection related to the relationship with oneself, with others, and a power greater than oneself. It's a power that you cannot control. It could be humanity, it could be community. It's something that it's beyond like your physical reach and the sense of meaning and purpose it brings to your life. I had a patient the other day when we were in a spirituality group inpatient, and he said, oh yeah, I felt something like that. I was outdoors and I was with my child who was jumping on the trampoline and I felt such joy. I was like, that's a spirituality moment.
Mm-hmm.
There's connection there. There's attentiveness, there's that relationship, and there's a sense of meaning or purpose that this patient was bringing to that experience. So mm-hmm. that is spirituality. And what we're doing here with spirituality in this clinical context, especially in acute care, and then with outpatient, we want to help empower them to be able to see how they can continue using spirituality in their journey of recovery and wellness. Is that part of the premise here is we're introducing them, inviting them to see and witness the accessibility of spirituality in their life with spirituality group. And then what happens when we meet with them individually is that it becomes focused now within the here and now relationship between myself and the care recipient. And these dynamics of connection, relationship, and meaning, purpose is what's being navigated in both of those contexts. With the spirituality group, you're talking about like 10 patients. With one-on-one, obviously, it's one. And that's how we're navigating it. And so therefore, there's going to be less prescription about what you must do. It's going to be about exploration. The spiritual life is all about exploration, is trying to transform our pain, our suffering, so we don't transmit that pain and suffering to others. And so we take some cues, you know, from the religious life through the centuries of how religion, as I understand it, being institutionalized spirituality, they've brought structure to what spirituality is. And so religion has tried to kind of create a structured way to be able to digest spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some wisdom that's been there, but the spiritual life itself is drawing from that wisdom. And that's part of this, so that we don't, you know, give our pain to others, transmit our pain to others. We need to transform that. And that's part of the exploration, the wonderment, the attendance to what's happening within oneself and other people's relationships.
So I want to talk about this concept that you brought up about, I asked you what spirituality was, and you said it's your relationship with yourself, your relationship with others, and your relationship with the higher power. Is that right?
Yeah, or a power that's greater than you, something you mm-hmm. cannot control.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I guess we'll start there, because I think that that's sort of one of the hang-ups that people can often have, especially, I've especially noticed this when it comes to like substance use and like going to 12-step programs. I think you probably know where I'm going with this, but mm-hmm. a lot of the work that they encourage people to recovery do in 12-step programs is to give things over to your higher power, mm-hmm. believe in a higher power. And I've worked with many people who have a hard time doing that because they say, oh, well, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. Like, mm-hmm. So what is sort of the difference between God and a higher power, or God and a power that's greater than yourself?
I think that, you know, it's a fascinating question. It's actually a question that people have been asking for centuries. The thing is,
well,
that
if you could sum it up,
who is God to you?
If you could sum it up in a 15-minute podcast, Jawad, I would really appreciate that.
Oh man, that would I would resolve the world's problems if I could do that.
But maybe you can just talk a little bit about your perspective in terms of that question, because it is definitely something that gets in the way sometimes when you're talking about openness to a 12-step program for people who don't necessarily believe in quote unquote God.
My big thing is, who is God to you?
Mm.
What mm-hmm. is God to you? Well, how did you come to know that that's what God is? Oh, that's fascinating, because this person over here understands God that way, that it's this, it's the power of, like, I've noticed so many patients say different things to me, that power, that's interconnectedness that I notice, they'll say that's God to me.
Mm.
Or someone mm. will say it's Jesus Christ incarnate. Some will say that it's the ineffable, something you cannot describe. It's something that's greater than me, greater than just yourself, something that brings awe to us, and something that helps us see that there's something greater going on in this world that I myself cannot directly have influence over.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even heard people say, like, you know, my greater power is me, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that, you know, even you'll find some humanists say that, you know, like, it's humanity. It's the power of humanity, or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's just greater than yourself that you cannot control. And that's the thing. It's about control. It's about the illusion of control and where that resides. Now, I claim that human beings are meaning-making creatures. In other words, we're spiritual beings. So there's always something going on that's beyond us. And so atheists, agnostics, Muslims, I'm Muslim, mm-hmm. you know, Christians, Jews, we all have a way of relating to something that is beyond me, beyond oneself. And that's really fundamentally, I think, what we're trying to work with, that relational connection. And the world's religions throughout history have been trying to deal with this, and they've all ascribed some kind of identification marker to whatever quote-unquote God is. It's a hard one to answer. With spirituality, no one can define your spirituality for you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you like take religion, right, as I was saying, institutionalized spirituality, and you imagine a building, that building has a whole bunch of structure. It has an entrance, it has an exit. It's an institution, it's an institutionalized space. When you remove the institution, that building off that, you know, that ground, what's left is now space, spirituality, so to speak. And no one can say, oh, this is how you enter it, right? Who could tell you that? It's a very personal experience. That's also why, where I've heard how some people within our programs and inside, you know, our care recipients, our patients, clients, have also lamented, saying like, I wish there was someone who could jive with my spirituality. Because when it's so personalized, sometimes they are struggling with, like, who can believe with me? Is there someone around here who understands the world as I do? And so, you know, they might go form some more personalized community. It could even be their family or their friend circle. Oftentimes throughout history, you know, they'll coalesce around an institutionalized, you know, spirituality or religion. And so that's why it's like, who is God to you? What do you think it is? I tend to take a deconstruction route towards that resistance or that experience of, well, I don't believe in God. Well, I probably don't believe in that God either.
I guess one thing I'm still trying to pin down a little bit here is why is a belief in a higher power important in terms of treating your mental health or having a healthy relationship with your mental health? Why is belief in a higher power important?
See, I noticed myself when I was responding to that, saying that when I say higher power, I realize that people's imaginations will take them towards the place. And I'm, so if we mean higher power to mean like the, as I was describing it, it's about our, it's really about the serenity prayer.
Right.
That's what it comes
down
to.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yes.
God, you know, God or whatever that power is that's greater than me, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's what the spiritual life in a nutshell is about. Now, how I understand spirituality is relationally built, and it's not necessarily God-centric or higher power centric. It's relationship centric. That's what the spiritual life is about. I end every spirituality group saying, if you had felt seen, heard, a sense of warmth, connection between yourself, others in this room, or like the power of the group here, that's what the texture of spirituality is. And you don't have to be anywhere special in order to access spirituality.
Right.
Because the common denominator within every space and setting is you.
Yeah, so I think a lot of it sounds like, has to do with acceptance. And, you know, I'm thinking about different types of therapies that are pretty much all about accepting what is happening with us and not necessarily trying to change it. There's a type of therapy called acceptance and commitment therapy. And basically, I think what most of it boils down to is really the thing that creates suffering a lot of the times in your within your mental health is your resistance to whatever is happening.
Yeah.
So really working on that sort of acceptance piece, and I think having sort of that higher power is a great way to manage that.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, however one defines their higher power, it's something that's beyond oneself. And you understand that you are not in control.
Right.
Yeah. It's an interesting, from my tradition, the Islamic tradition, there's a particular saint. Someone went up to him and asked him, he said, like, you're talking about will, you know, a lot of our ancient texts, right, they talk about, like, free will versus, you know, predetermination. So it was one of those questions, and he said to him, you know, how much control or do I really have in this life? And the saint told him, okay, I see you're standing, could you pick up one foot? He said, yeah, sure. So he picked up one foot, And then he said, "Now pick up the other one." And he was like, "I can't." And yeah, you know, it's kind of like this. It's we're navigating this, and no one can really. We can get consultation to help us determine like where our control lies, but the spiritual life is trying to help us uncover our own sense of agency to know that you can change. Once you know that you can change and you don't have to suffer in exactly the same way that you once did, which is kind of liberating, because then you can then see what you can do then.
Right.